'cause you don't know the words. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the heart who's still waiting for their voice to be heard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd.
Melbourne trio Titus with their 1996 song Anthem. So rewind 115 years and it's 1881 and we're in the colony of Victoria. Melbourne has just hosted the International Exhibition, the first official World's Fair to be held in the Southern Hemisphere. And at the Melbourne International Exhibition Awards, the Corranderk Aboriginal Reserve wins the first Order of Merit in the hops category. That's hops as in the things you use to make beer. In the very same year, 1881, at a Victorian parliamentary inquiry, the Aboriginal inhabitants of Corranderk have to justify to the Aboriginal Protection Board why they should be allowed to stay on their land, which they are farming so successfully. That's the story which is told in the Abidjary Theatre Company's production Corranderk, which is opening very soon in Melbourne. And veteran actor Jack Charles is in the production. Jack, welcome to Books and Arts Daily. Nice to have you.
Pleased to be here, Michael.
And Isaac Drandich is the director of the play. He's also associate director of Abidjary. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. So, Isaac, tell us about Corranderk. How did it come to be, this place?
Well, it's quite a story, actually. Originally, the mob being dispersed from their traditional lands all those years ago were looking for a place, basically, where they could be safe and where they could live and have a life.
Now, these are the Aboriginal people who are the traditional owners of the Port Phillip region.
That's right.
Shunted out of Melbourne and given plots of land for the loss of Melbourne.
Yeah. So this is 1863 we're talking about.
That's right. Corranderk was established in 1863. Before Corranderk, they looked at setting up a place just north of Healesville called Acheron Station up there. And they actually worked the land up there. They cleared the land. They planted crops up there. They built fences. And eventually the farmers and the squatters came in and took that land from them. And so John Green, who's a central figure in the story of Corranderk and in the inquiry, he was Inspector of Aborigines at the time, a member of the Board for the Protection of Aborigines at that time. And so he heard what was going on up there. And so together, him, William Barak, also a central figure in this story, and Simon Wonga, who at that time was Narangita of the Kulin people.
So Narangita means he's the head man.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so together they founded Corranderk, which was a traditional place for the Woiwurrung people, which is just situated outside Healesville. And so they established that place there in 1863.
Yeah. So it's a very successful story, Jack, and people still have a lot of affection for Corranderk. The local mob still do today.
We have a Corranderk Festival each year.
Yeah. So we've got Wonga, Simon Wonga he was known as, wasn't he, and William Barak, who are these two kind of iconic figures. Tell us about your own connection with this. You got a personal connection with this.
My great-greats were there, Johnny Charles, Lizzie Charles and others. And there's a little story there too, you know. I mean, he would have been like Foley, much like an agitator.
Like Gary Foley, Aboriginal agitator. He'd like me to call him that.
Yep. Yes. I believe he was shot, killed himself with his own gun going through a fence, as they were all, the mob was looking for a lost boy at the time.
This is Barak did this?
No, this is my great-great-great-grandfather, Johnny Charles.
Oh, he shot himself.
So, yeah.
Accidentally.
But we don't believe that.
Oh.
You see, because these places, these reserves, were places of sanctuary for blackfellas at that time. And remember, even at that time, and even after, many of us were being shot after the Sunday church. They would many of the white squatters would mount on their horses and go chasing the odd blackfella for sport and that. So I reckon, you know, paranoia can allow me and my family, my sister and I, to believe that that he was shot for being an agitator.
There's a great moment in the play, actually, where Johnny Charles isn't mentioned, but Strickland, who was the manager, the tyrant manager of Corranderk at the time, gives evidence in the inquiry about this Aboriginal person who was ordered, and this is verbatim, who was ordered to get a piece of ground ready to put potatoes in. And the blackfella said, "I will do nothing of the kind unless I am paid the full price a white man is paid." I said, Strickland's voice, "I said, you were told to do it." And he said, Johnny Charles,
I will not do it.
Mm.
And so I have a bit of a laugh there, a bit of a smirk.
Because
I know that's my great
family story.
You know, refusing to buckle under there.
And one of the themes at Corranderk, as I recall the story, is that there were administrators, white administrators, who were sympathetic to Aborigines and some who weren't. There was a bit of a, you know, the Aborigines' fortunes kind of rose and fell with the white guys in charge. Is that a fair summary of it?
Yes. We had Anne Bonn. She lived in Kew. She was a wealthy lady. And she befriended William Brack. And often, as they would walk with their petitions into Melbourne four times, they would drop into Kew to Mrs. Bond's for a bit of a rest, and then they'd go into Melbourne from then. You know?
There's no doubt that it was a very strategic effort from the Corranderk Aboriginal people to enrol key white figures to support them in their campaign for justice. And Anne Bonn was certainly one of those really strong figures that supported them right the way through. And as a woman in that time, standing up and having a voice in that time was quite an extraordinary thing for her to do.
Mm.
Also, there were other great supporters like John Green, of course, and the editor
Harris.
And founder of the Age newspaper, George Syme, at that time. And I suppose,
a lot of what we call now sort of small-air liberal opinion that was always on the side of Aborigines and got what Aborigines were on about. I mean, I think that, you know, that goes all the way back. There, as well as the people who were aggressively hostile to Aborigines, there were always white people who sort of got it.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we've got a scene where we are talking about walking into Melbourne, and occasionally, as we're this motley crew of black fellas walking to Melbourne, the occasional farmer would stop their work and would look at this crew. And even one went up to his cottage and came down and gave them fruit, some taka for their journey. So there were a lot of people like that on the journey.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're listening to Books and Arts Daily on RN with Michael Cathcart, and we're talking about a play that's inspired by the history of the Corranderk Aboriginal Reserve to the east of Melbourne, just near the present-day Healesville, if you know your way around Melbourne. And with me are the veteran actor Jack Charles and Isaac Drandich, who's the director of this play. Now, before we hear you, Jack, you do a little bit, we should just talk about very quickly about the Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry. This is in 1881. So, Isaac, what's this about?
Well, largely the play is made up of transcripts that were recorded at that 1881 government inquiry. And the inquiry came about very much through the resilience and the efforts of the Corranderk mob. The resistance to being moved out of their own country once again. And they did this by, as we talked about before, by enrolling key white figures to support them, but also writing letters and petitions and appropriating the whitefellow way of making sure that your voice is recorded and heard.
So just to interrupt you, so the Aborigines had a grievance about the way they'd been treated. They went to the Parliament, and the Parliament said, okay, we should look into this. Is that what you're saying?
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I mean,
it's quite significant for that for the day and the time.
Again, it's a sign of the smaller liberal element that was, powerful. And, of course, you know, this is democracy at work, and democracy is a radical, powerful idea at the end of the 19th century, a dangerously radical idea, which the people in Port Phillip were pioneering.
Mm. There you go. Yeah. Mm. So many letters were written, once they're embedded into Parliament, then they had to take it seriously.
And what was so significant about this inquiry is we believe that it was the first time that Aboriginal people had been called to give official testimony at such an official inquiry.
So their grievance was that they'd been taken off the first reserve that you were talking about. Is that the issue?
The issue is that they heard and they read these in the newspapers that they were going to be moved off Corranderk
and that
the Board for the Protection of Aborigines was going to disband Corranderk.
So they're fighting to keep Corranderk?
Absolutely they are, as well as to remove the manager at that time.
Who was very unsympathetic to them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And basically they wanted to get John Green back, who was a manager that founded that station with them and worked very successfully with them.
Yeah, he's a very interesting figure, isn't he? Okay. Mm. All right, Jack, let's have some performance, because I love listening to you perform. So you play the part of Burrack, do you?
William Burrack, yes, and Jack Charles.
Okay. What are you going to perform for us?
So part of, what am I doing, which one?
Ochre 1.
The ochre, we have a couple of ochre scenes in it, three ochre scenes in it. So there we go. William Burrack walks through the land, this Mother Earth. His broad, wide feet touch the ground, and the leaves and twigs crunch and give way. Those feet that have steadfastly walked this country 1,000 times before. Those eyes that see all, the meeting places, the camping spots, sacred ceremonial grounds. The ferns sweep past Barrack's legs, touching him, saying, "Hello." The trees look down, and "Wah!" the crow keeps watch. Today, Burrack walks alone. Today is a day for sitting and watching at that place where the creek and the Birrarung meets. Burrack walks to the water's edge, the river's craggy banks. He knows what he is looking for. His fathers and uncles took him there. They knew too, that special place. He takes a stone axe from his belt and chips at the riverbank. That place where he stands, his father stood too, and his father's father before him and before. With a slow and ancient song, Burrack asks permission. His wiry brown fingers clasp the stone axe handle, and he chips at the riverbank. Chip, chip, chip. Slowly and surely, the ochre gives way. That piece of beauty now rests in his hand, the soft yellow hue. He spits on the ochre, smears it across his forehead. His song, almost finished now, he puts the stone axe back into his belt, wraps the ochre into a handkerchief and places it into his deep and warm pocket. As black as the night sky, this ochre, we'll travel home with Burrack tonight. But for now, Burrack has some remembering to do.
Jack Charles, you've had the whole of Australia on the edge of their seat. Where did you learn to speak like this? I mean, have you always been able to talk in this marvellous voice, or did you practice this?
No. Well, it came from the elocution lesson that I had at Box Hill Boys' home.
Is that right?
I was the chosen one to have elocution because I was the only black fellow in that home anyway.
I see. Wow.
So I assimilated well.
Yeah,
it's that the white fellows didn't accept my assimilation.
Well, they do now. You've broken up now. Well. We all call you Uncle Jack in Melbourne. Isaac, you've got a great joy here directing Jack Charles. You know, when you're a director, you've got a great actor to work with. It makes you look good, doesn't it?
Absolutely, he does. He certainly does. Thank you so much, Uncle Jack, for being part of this production. I couldn't keep you away from it anyway.
No, I know. Can't stop him. Well, look, it's just been lovely to meet you both. All the best with the production. Chookers for the production, which starts on the... when does it start? quite soon. The 14th
we preview
of August?
On the 15th.
The 15th of August.
Open okay. on the 16th.
Okay, and run for a few days there at the Northcote Town Hall. It's been great to meet you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for coming in. Jack Charles, he performs the role of William Burrock and also of his... What relation is it?
Great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Many greats, grandfather, yeah. Yes. This is in the Abidjary Theatre Company production of Corin Dirk, and Isaac Drandich is the director of the play. He's also the associate director of the company. And Corin Dirk opens at the Northcote Town Hall in Melbourne on the 15th of August, and you'll find more information on our website. Across Australia, this is RN. You're with Michael Cathcart on Books and Arts.